welcome back to the Agony Booth.
That sounds underwhelming. It's a baseline for what is coming.
Yeah, I know. This is going to be one of those ones that everybody will remember. Try to forget. Welcome back to the Agony Booth. I'm Captain Joe Dove. I am, of course, am joined by with the amazing Jason Rogasing, and this week returning once again the amazing VHS Jace, Master of Member Berries. We are so excited to bring to you, to bequeath upon you, of course, this 106th episode of the Captain's Quadrant. We are talking about Star Trek Season 3, Episode 19, Requiem for Methuselah. Yes, that was a tongue twister for me for some reason. And, of course, we got into some really strange new worlds in this one. So, without further ado... Yeah, we did. I think so. Without further ado, Mr. Roy Gaston, your synopsis. Mm.
Very well. A fatal disease is certain to decimate the crew of the Enterprise unless an antidote can be collected from planet Halbrek 917G. A landing party discovers that the alien world is not uninhabited, as they have been led to believe.
Indeed.
Do you know that the word decimate actually means to reduce by 10%? It does not mean to wipe out. It just means, deci, 10. Reduce by 10%.
Hey, attention class, that'll be on his next test.
that'll be on the exam.
That's teacher mode, right?
Totally.
There you go.
We get it.
Use decimate correctly. It's not decimate, it's obliterate.
You drinking out then out of a Stanley cup, your credibility is just
my big stupid cup.
Hold up.
I got my big stupid cup with my big stupid hat.
Hey, the hat is awesome. I don't have one of those hats. I don't know what's going on.
You have one of those hats. I have it right here for you.
Some other things, cheap postage.
No, it's quite expensive, including your puzzle set from our wonderful guest, Stephanie Stavatsky.
I know. So, can't wait, because I'll be there to get it in person, Joe. I'm coming over there to get it in person.
That's right. You're coming to Trek Long Island, which is happening this May into June. Well, the three of us will be together for the first time in history. And
I have not been informed of this. What?
Yeah, you're going to be there too. What are you talking about?
Oh,
we're all
three
going to be there. You're going to
have
to
organize
let
the
leave.
Guy with the injection for him, didn't
somebody,
we?
Somebody
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Get him over here. Yep.
Yeah, he'll just call it, and then we'll just put him on the plane. And
I am actually delaying a 10,000-mile road trip to appear at this place with you yahoos. So that is how much I love you.
Don't bury the lead. We're going to be live on stage at the Trek Long. Yeah.
I hope we'll be live on stage.
That's
the alternative.
Doing a live agony booth. That's huge.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can't wait because I've never been to America. So my first trip to the US is going to be just to come and spend time with you guys at Trek Long Island. Very special moment.
It's going to be amazing. Fantastic. We're going to talk about conspiracy. Yes, that's going to be the episode that we're
dropping the bomb. That's the episode we're talking about.
That's it. It's official. It's official. Official. This is what we're doing. We're doing it.
Doing it live.
The splody head episode. I remember back whenever I was 10 years old and watched Remick's head freaking blow up right there on syndication and scarring me for life. Are you scared to watch Star Trek? Oh, don't be a wimp. Get back in there.
But it's not only that. It's the way his head blows up because it's like layers of skin.
Yes, it's disgusting. Yeah. You know, I love it.
Yeah, like it's really graphic.
Wonderful.
We'll be talking about that in May, correct?
That'll be
May. It's like a turducken watching it just come apart.
Yeah, so this is going to be super exciting. I'm very excited to meet both of you. I have gone to Vegas. What's that?
I said, give me 10 minutes. I'll ruin that.
Well, I mean,
and
the
I'm
first
really
thing
looking forward to disappointing you both. So that'll be fun.
That ship has sailed, my friend. That ship has sailed.
True.
I think it's going to be hilarious when you know, I've always perceived as being the tallest of the three of us, and I'm going to have the rude awakening of being the shortest of the three of us. And then I'm going to have my partner with me, and she's taller than me too. So I'm going to just be like the child in the sea of adults.
We're just going to hand you a giant oversized lollipop, and you can just hand it to people like, hello.
We love the governor in Florida. He wears like little things on his shoes.
Yeah,
get some DeSantis elevator shoes.
Like men heels. Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah,
that'll do.
I have to admit, though, I am most looking forward to meeting Teddy.
Oh wow! Not us.
Eddie and possibly dog. Cosmic Mom, if we can. I,
yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
if
look,
I'm sure
have,
possible, but
I have some unfinished business with Teddy. That needs no profitable business. It's just, you know, he just reports in a few things to me. He's got a few little missions to go on for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is so much more fun than talking about this stupid episode.
Yeah. This is like an actual podcast now. We're just rambling.
Happy
Happy
February.
Yes, happy February. Happy February.
It's crazy. Black History Month.
Yes, it is. And then VHS Jace, welcome back.
Hello. Yes, I'm back. I'm back to annoy, disappoint, fascinate, sympathize with.
And then one of our friendly sponsors, greetings, nerdlings, just stopping by to say hello there. General Kenobi. That is our other star podcast, Star Wars podcast, the Scuttlebutt guys. So good to see you both.
Never heard of Star Wars.
It's not tattooed on
I'll work with it. Mate, I'll do anything Eddie wants me to do. Like, absolutely.
Anywhere for me, just coming to America 5. Good morning,
did that
neighbors?
Make the number 2? Because I choose not to remember.
Exactly. And then our good buddy, Damon J. What up to, I think it was what up though. What up to Jason, Joe, Jason and Jason. It's a lot of.
How are you?
That's okay. It happens. All
Yeah. And then
early it's fine.
Yes, yeah, Star Trek, the other white meat.
Well said, Scuttlebutt. Well said, Scarif, our friends there, Scarif. So and I guess it's time to get into this episode then, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we go.
That's my feeling towards the whole episode, is just
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we're very excited to have our Australian friend and producer in the background pushing all the buttons, having all the keys. VHS Jace, tell us, what the F did we just watch?
You know when they say that, like, season 3 of the original series is really bad? This is the poster child for the entire season 3. It is, it has an interesting core to it, but it's just so boring in it. I feel like there are some logic holes there that I can't quite explain. And it just looks cheap. I think it was shot in like 3 locations. I feel like they had the exterior, the interior, and then one set from the bridge in Star Trek, on the Enterprise. So, no, it sucked. That's as clear as I can put it.
Yeah. Jason Roy Gaston.
It was boring. That's it. Mm-hmm. It was just boring. I just waited for something to happen and nothing would happen. And I'm just thinking, I've seen The Tempest. This is not new. This is dumb. This is boring. Please do something episode. And their big thing was, oh, look, you remember the 3-foot model of the Enterprise? Boom, there it is. Look at that. This is the only new shot of the ship you're getting all season.
I got to say that there's a really cool premise in this episode. And there is a lot of inspiration for a lot of sci-fi that we got in the 80s, especially Highlander with this guy. Because Homeboy is the... what's that?
Sorry, that's an old man joke. Richard Burton. The guy looks like Richard Burton. He was married once to Elizabeth Taylor. Yeah, anyway.
Yes.
Well, over 80s fans, you'll get that reference.
Exactly. And I just felt like they totally had the precursor to Highlander with him, because he was doing all the art. He lived... we have lived quietly among you for generations, living secretly. No one has known we were among you until now. This guy, it's Highlander.
It's also the Eternals as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's a
copyright strike.
No, don't sing that because I don't want the copyright strike.
And, oh, guess what? I forgot to turn on. Hold on. I forgot to turn on my little camera thing. There we go.
I think this is hilarious. I got to put it up real quick. I see four podcasts. Well said. Well said. Of course, the other thing that I thought maybe we would get something very magical was when I saw that robot popping up and it was floating around. I'm like, they got some pretty good graphics for this robot thing. Like, you know, it seemed like it was going to be
barely see the string.
Yeah, they got rid of the fishing wire.
Yeah, they did a great job. But let us hop.
Can I just say though, does that bug any of you guys when you go back and watch these old episodes, and we're seeing the redone versions?
Yes,
it always bugs me. It shouldn't, because I know the older models would look probably pretty basic and lame, but it's kind of like watching the redo of, you know, the Star Wars trilogy, isn't it? You'll end up watching them because but you can't help going, yeah, they fixed that, you know, what, 10 years ago or whatever. It just bothers me. That's all. Especially in this episode, because you go from these really nice CGI shots of the ship to the cheapest looking sets they've ever kind of. You're seeing the walls wobble.
Yeah, the walls wobble. This, like they just bought a cloth from the local tailor shop and just put it up. It'll look good.
You know? So, Mr. Kirk, how do you like my wall made out of crumpled butcher paper? Yeah. Does it not look quasi-futuristic to you?
It's like Doctor Who. All right, well, let's hop into why would they do that?
There's nothing there.
That's also the general idea of this episode. There's just nothing there.
Thought it was the budget for the show. There's nothing there left in the bank to do this.
Oh yeah,
rough. Now Jason's turning into a special effect from an old Doctor Who
episode. My cat is messing with stuff. Hold on.
Actually, his effects right now are still better than what was.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say that. I feel like they're an upgrade from this episode. All right, Jason Regaston.
Why would they do this? Oh my gosh. Okay. Somebody read The Tempest, or better yet, somebody watched Forbidden Planet and thought, we can do that. We have our own little robot. We have our own little Prospero. It's all right. We can do this episode. Also, we have a budget of $15. We need a good actor, so everybody on the ship has to go away. I guess we could have James Doohan and Nichelle Nichols for a few minutes, so we can pay them like $15 this week. It's just a lot of money episode. Just they seem to be in this. Well, there's two fronts to this. You have this epidemic on the Enterprise, which one, Bones, what is your job exactly? Like, Jim, we have a pandemic on the ship. Really? Where have you been? Drunk?
Yeah. Brandy.
Yeah, you were told that there's this pandemic on the Enterprise, and never once do we see a patient.
Yeah, nobody
would ever see anybody suffering. It's just, we have a pandemic on the Enterprise. Just take my word for it. The budget will not allow it. Even just like a mannequin under a sheet, you know, and McCoy going, damn it, that's the 15th guy I couldn't save today. Yeah, let me guess, he's dead, Jim. Yes, he's dead, Jim. And then we have this strange episode on this planet, and I mean, like I said, this is the Tempest, but I thought they had 4 hours to get the cure, and then they take their sweet time just chit-chatting and having a nice old visit and winning Flint over to their side. And I just, there was so much about this episode, even beyond the budget, that was just bungled. There was no sense of a ticking clock. It just seems like it was just one thing after another, and oh, by the way, everybody on the Enterprise is dying, but it's fine. It's fine. Scotty and Uhura have to repopulate the whole ship, but it's fine.
It was like there was a pure abandonment of what may have made this episode work, right? So you set up, we've got 4 hours to go. So already you've got yourself a, there's a ticking clock. We've got to get this done in 4 hours. And then what seems to be a complete abandonment of the seriousness of the situation. If this, actually, I'll get into it till we get into our what we hated and what we loved. But yeah.
No.
This is an abandonment of what could have made this episode work. They kind of turn into this soap opera love story, which is ridiculous.
Right. It was very weird. But I thought that the Luis Sorrell was absolutely stunning in this. Like every scene, she has like this. Oh, go ahead. What?
She was pretty, all right? She was nice to look at. Pretty. But as a character, completely woeful. Woeful. Everybody in this episode for me is woeful. Like, to me, this is evidence of how you could put Kirk as one of the worst captains that I've ever seen in the Federation. Because he has 4 hours to save his entire crew, and he goes and falls in love with a blonde chick. Like, where's your priorities, Captain? And it's immediate.
Yeah.
I'm very emotional about the situation.
I have to agree. I thought she was basically just a hole in the air.
Oh, really?
That's it.
She's supposed to be super smart too, right? And super knowledgeable and wise and all this.
Yeah.
She is as dumb as the control panel behind you because it's not real.
Yeah. Well, she wasn't either, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's
the it must be twist. Really nice to be the captain of a starship.
What's the deal with like aren't you forgetting Kirk something about a cure? Because that's the only thing that really she does in this episode to kind of prove that she has some sort of knowledge or intelligence is to show Kirk how to play 8-ball. Like, what is that all about? So that's, I don't know.
Random.
She was terrible. It's so random. She's as bad as Richard Burton's haircut in this.
And another thing is, like, this robot is so advanced, right? And it can come up with a cure and help everything out. But they have to, like, glue stuff to it all the time or put a magnet on it. It's like, it doesn't have hands? Like, what happened?
Tell me I'm not the only one who noticed that its butt is Nomad's head. Well, put the picture back
show
up.
That again.
Its butt is Nomad's head.
Oh my god.
What did they do to Nomad?
Wow.
That's I just crazy. Feel like the props department, you know, someone's the old prop guy's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Ah, that'll do it. Just slap it together.
Glue Nomad's head to the Death Star. It's fine. It's fine. No one will notice. It's not like our fans are obsessive or anything.
Yeah. Little did they know.
They did have a couple of, there was one really interesting shot that I laughed at, but I went, oh, good idea to do this camera shot in this episode when you've got no budget, where you get that droid's point of view.
Yeah.
There's a shot, and then all of a sudden you've got his POV, and they've kind of like pushed in on a dolly to go around through it. And I laughed at it, but I thought, hey, at least it's something interesting in this episode. Yeah, there you go.
that's the shot.
Yeah, it was a good dolly shot. I'm trying here to find something positive.
I'm positive it was
and
boring.
Then, of course, we got to figure out what's a redeeming feature.
It looks like gold. Tastes like gold.
It is gold.
I mean... Richard what is Burton's more haircut? Redeeming?
A haircut. Best thing. The haircut. Maybe the robe. Robe's pretty good too.
I think the most redeeming feature is that she was a robot. I thought that was cool. It was a twist. It was like a Twilight Zone. Like this could have been a Twilight Zone episode. No?
So basically Kirk fell in love with a fleshlight, basically. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Pretty gross. Pretty gross.
She was a hole in the air, so I guess.
Pretty gross.
Also, how predatory is Richard Burton in this? Like, I got real creepy vibes where he goes up to it, goes to attempt to kiss her, and then touch her on the cheek. So, like, and he knew too. He's like, you know, you're a machine.
Hey, this is my robot. Good. This is cool. And she wasn't the first one. Like when they went in that room and there was a ton of them, I was like, oh wow, this is a nice little twist. You know?
You know, the fembots failed after a while. He'd come after and they start shooting machine guns.
It was machine gun jump, please. Yeah, that was.
Who was he supposed to? This guy had been like everyone, right? The most important people in history, this guy was. I think I've got a list here somewhere of who he was supposed to be. Well, some of them Alexander the Great, Solomon, Lazarus of Bethany, Leonardo da Vinci, Brahms, and many others.
Wait a second. Does that mean that Captain Janeway was with Flint on the holodeck in that one episode of Voyager?
Whoa.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Whoa. Yep, that deserves a drink from your sippy cup. Yep.
My headcanon is that Flint's just full of crap and he wasn't any of those people.
I think that was a... Yes, a missed opportunity.
Lady Katharina, it's okay. I can get this out of this. I was also Alexander the Great.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, and I was also Brahms.
What?
Yes, and I was also Einstein.
What?
And I am also you. I am Jeffrey Combs.
Oh, there it is.
Perfectly.
And that now that's the missed opportunity right there.
That's the missed opportunity.
That is the missed
opportunity. Mind you, if he was Alexander the Great, he committed genocide then, which doesn't work, right? Because he's supposed to value life so much. So,
Yeah.
There you go.
That's crazy. It's crazy. Oh, well.
God, now it's even worse.
Let's get some redeeming features besides the haircut. VHS Chase.
I honestly really.
Okay, the only thing I can do is look at each character and what they do, right? The main four or five characters in this. So, Kirk is acting completely irresponsible and should have been court-martialed for his behavior on that, for falling in love when really he has a duty to make sure the welfare of his crew is safe. Spock just is being Spock. He's just like, this is weird, right? But I'm into it. I'm going to hang around. I'm going to check it all out, right?
That's very true. That's exactly what Spock
is. Yeah, that's how he reacts. And then you've got the Doc who... There, like, so, he's going to be put across a panel for this. Like Jason said, you have a pandemic happening. Well, not a pandemic, but you got a virus going to kill everyone in 4 hours, and you leave the ship? Do you not have any staff competent enough to get the chemical?
Yeah.
That could have gone down.
Isn't Mbenga hanging around somewhere?
Yeah, Mbenga. This could have been a total job for Mbenga, you know?
Yeah. And Nurse Chapel. I was once the CMO of this ship. Yes, you were. Then what happened?
You left your kid in the buffer. The transporter buffer.
So the doctor's being...
Klingon to death, you monster. on drugs.
I'm actually thinking the villain is the probably redeeming feature out of it because at least he's trying not to overtly be villainous. I think he just wants to be left alone. Man, I'm drawing a long bow on that. Everything sucks in this. I'm sorry. There are no redeeming features. The only redeeming feature that could be is they remove this episode from all the archives.
Oh, wow.
Burn the tapes. Wow. Burn the negatives. Nah, I'm being a bit
harsh.
Burn
them all. Burn them. Wow. All right, Jason.
I didn't get anything out of it. It just looked cheap. It's actually, in many ways, kind of sad to see where the series was going at this point, you know? And they're doing the best they can with just no money. And I wonder if this script was written one of those fan scripts. Didn't they do fan scripts at this time?
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, they were getting people to write in, weren't they?
They need to excise the fan then, just like exile him. Say, go over there to Babylon 5 or whatever. Whatever was
this,
there.
Is this a matter of just bad idea or poor execution?
Both.
A little of column A, a little of column B.
I mean, because the idea is not bad. Like, this guy lives forever. He somehow got into space, got a planet somehow, and he landed on this planet, took it over, built a robot love toy, and just lives forever there.
The fleshlight.
He just wants to be left alone with a sex girl. That's all. Leave me alone with my sex robot.
Yeah.
She's not into me. But she will be soon.
Yeah, maybe version 8 will be into me. So
mind you, you see how weird she's acting, right?
What's that? You're out of batteries? What? Oh, you want batteries? I'll give you batteries, but you got to do something for me first.
Oh, no.
Why did Kirk fall in love with her? I don't get what she was putting out, right, in regards to the vibes that he just fell in love with her. It's not like she was charismatic. She had zero riz. Zero riz.
Her not putting out was the whole point of her character.
That was why. That's why he fell in love with her. And why, you know what's funny?
You are the most makes him an incompetent captain I've ever seen.
Yes.
I wish I could leave this place.
Yeah.
I'm going to put out a controversial comment.
Can I
think
talk
Kirk...
about redeeming features now?
Well, I'm going to actually really. I'm just going to say this, but I kind of intimated this the other day. This is Kirk. Kirk is probably the worst captain of the Enterprise. I'm just going to kind of let it a little bit. But he is. I'm convinced at this point. He is the worst captain of the Enterprise.
Wow. That's
wild. Don't worry, I won't be alive for the next episode of the Agony Booth. I can feel a laser sight on the back of my head right now for saying that.
But if you were to stack up all the captains together,
who makes the dodgiest decisions? Kirk.
The guy that didn't have anything installed until Tuesday.
Oh, that's right.
The one that blew up the ship.
I suppose he is the worst. But Kirk, if you were to put all the evidence down, like I said, I stand by the fact that he does not come off well at all.
Mm. Does anybody else feel that Luis Sorrell kind of looks like the
fleshlight?
Yeah. No. The actress from Little Shop of Horrors.
Played Audrey, a little bit.
I'll throw out the photo.
That would have made
again.
It a lot better. It's like,
oh, you're Captain Kirk. Oh my goodness, I've always wanted to leave this planet, but I'm afraid the Flint won't let me. Sometimes
Flint's like, stupid girl falls off, scatter brains, falls off the motorcycle.
Oh, now that would have been so much better. You know, I am the dentist.
Go back to Richard Burton.
Can I talk about my redeeming feature now?
Yeah.
I want to talk about my redeeming feature.
He looks sad.
I have one redeeming feature, which I was watching this episode, and I have to admit, I don't think I've seen this episode since the first time I saw it back in the 80s, because I remember even back then, I thought this sucked. But there was one little bit at the very, very end where Captain Kirk, for some reason, is upset because the love of his life that he's known for less than 4 hours is Dedsky. And he's basically pouting like this. He's just doing that. And Spock walks up and just kind of goes, forget. And I was like,
oh, okay, yes.
The bro does him a solid.
Yeah.
One, forget your pain, forget the woman. Secondly, forget the episode. I wanted Spock's hand to come just touch the screen so I could go, I want to forget too. Let me.
Oh, man.
I also have to talk about the guy who played Flint, because I thought he was a pretty good actor, so I went and looked him up. The actor's name is James Daly, and maybe you don't remember him, but you probably remember his offspring, because he is the father of Tyne Daly, who played Cagney and Cagney and Lacey.
Wow.
And who is also the father of Timothy Daly, who is from Wings and the voice of Superman, I believe.
Oh, snap. That's Superman's dad?
Yeah.
That's Jor-El?
Is a Superman. Yeah.
Yeah. Ducky. That's Jor-El. Look at that.
Kal-El, you must go to Earth. Pick up
me. I love tidbits like that, though. That's great.
It's funny how everything is connected in nepotism.
Yeah.
But that's it. I know they say that about Hollywood, but. Man, I know families of plumbers, generational plumbers, and I know families of nepotism everywhere. Yeah, they need it more on the Enterprise.
My father never really amounted to anything. Captain. That's my excuse. My father never amounted to anything. Therefore, I am nothing.
Oh. I got both of my moms, my actual mom and my stepmom, that probably will concur with that. That a bit about my dad, so that'll be interesting. And we're going to do something different this week. We are going to cut to commercial, but our commercial is going to be our throws to the other shows. We're going to start with Jason Roy Gaston's. So go for it, buddy.
Oh, you want me to say something?
Yeah, it's your show.
Yeah.
Very well. Well, for one, I'm happy that you've got the actual correct address on there. God knows how many followers you've cost me in the last.
Yeah, sure.
Please, for the love of God, come and visit the Jason Roy Gaston YouTube channel. What happened? Okay,
it's coming. It's not a loop. There we go. So, I mean.
Please visit the Jason Roy Gaston YouTube channel, where we have the VHS vault and where we look at movies from the past. Jason Watches, where we look at movies from the present. And of course, our new shows. We have Breaking Wind, which is our last Avatar podcast, which we are just a couple of weeks away from. The Piece de Resistance, the M. Night Shyamalan. Sorry, made puke in my mouth a little bit. M. Night Shyamalan thing. And we've got some other things that go on over there. It's a lot of fun, and you should join us. Remember, on YouTube, no one can hear you laugh.
All right, and VHS Jace.
Well, you can find me over the Jason Roy Gaston channel. As you can see, I'm enthusiastic as I was in that picture.
Here is
TikTok. Come over to my TikTok VHS Jace, because you know what it is? It's a bunch of memories for you to sit back and enjoy. I'm not there prancing around. I'm not giving you political views. I'm just giving you slices of your life from the past where you can come and enjoy. Yeah, that's basically what I do over there. But a lot of my creative madness does go into the Jason Roy Gaston channel, and I get paid nothing for it.
And it's too much.
I paid you, so you feel good about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I get paid from that other guy. But
well, you know what? Just go to the other guy, okay? Go to the other guy. See how long he puts up with your whining. You'll come.
Quite a long time.
You always come crawling back.
Yeah.
You know me too well.
Please join us on the console room every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Another thing that you have produced that has been magnificent. We are talking about Doctor Who.
Thank you.
And we are hoping to have Jason Roy Gaston appear on this show to talk about Doctor Who. So please be sure to check that out. Be sure to check out our friends, the Scarif Podcast. Oh, that's got a butt. Pure unadulterated professionals. Nerd. Yeah, no, we're all professionals, right? We're in a collective of professional podcasters. They're part of the Red 5 Network. No, you don't agree? Okay. And of course, please be sure to visit Encapsulated International. You can get a 3D print of your favorite starship. They are one of our good friends and sponsors of the show. And very cool. If you use the code word CAPTAINQ, you get a discount on your 3D print. So be sure to check them out. Amazing folk.
Right.
Yeah, that was really cool. And I'm getting an Enterprise G. So if anybody's interested, I'm selling my J because I want to get the G. Just putting that out there. eBay, real nice. That'll turn it to you. Nice. Anyway.
My J, and I'm very upset.
Oh.
Turns out the cells are actually very spindly and break easily.
they break easy. Well.
But now they're detached. Well, so it's like, you know, Discovery era Enterprise.
Yeah. Well, before we get into spinning the wheel, it is time to answer one of the most magnificent questions that we've ever got on our segment.
It's time for stupid Star Trek questions.
Yes. Do you think Captain Kirk could beat Darth Vader? Do you think Captain Kirk can beat Darth Vader? Good shout out to Digital DD Dave.
Go Dave. Digital Go Dave.
Yeah, Digital Go Dave.
The pure,
I think, with proper
blood
consent
and horror, and you would see. Sorry, go on.
I think with proper consent and a nice meal, I'm pretty sure Kirk could pull it off.
Wow. JVHS Chase.
Like, to see the scene of Vader completely by the force rip him to pieces would be amazing. Like, wow. In what way could Kirk even have a shot at him? Unless Vader's into Kirk and thinking, you're a bit of something something, I wouldn't mind being interested in. Kirk's got nothing to offer here, eh?
No.
I would love to see Kirk try to do like the flying kick, only to have Darth Vader like stop him in midair and like wham against the walls, wham, wham, wham.
It would be the quickest fight ever, right? It would be an absolute annihilation.
If I may, I came up with a fanfic a few years ago, 2 years ago actually. It was a Star Wars meets Star Trek crossover, and I thought, you know, how would this work? And there actually is a Star Trek character who could go toe-to-toe with Darth Vader. Now, in my version of the story, he does not win, but he goes toe-to-toe with Vader. Now, this is Julian Bashir and Worf go up against Vader first. And they're just completely annihilated. And while they're laying on the floor,
poor Worf.
Bashir says, activate the emergency medical program. Boom, there's the doctor. And the doctor looks around and says, oh my, well, okay, activate the emergency tactical program. He gets the security guard, a security uniform and everything, picks up a lightsaber off the ground. All right, let's go. And he goes toe to toe with Darth Vader because Darth Vader can't like force choke him because he's in tandem.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Hey,
could that mean potentially with that technology, the doctor who can turn himself like in, you know, he could be nothing can grab him. He could actually step into Vader and then make himself like matter, right? And then just explode him out.
Either that or take a handful of sand and like, you know, stick it in there and really mess up Anakin's day.
Wow.
Because he hates sand.
Absolutely. Because he does.
So the doctor is the one that could beat Darth Vader.
Well, he does in my story, he doesn't beat Darth Vader. He just slows him down. Like he gets too cocky and then Darth Vader kind of crushes his mobile emitter. And as he's flickering out, the doctor kind of goes, oh, son of a, and he goes out.
Wow.
Yeah. That's Darth Vader's amazing. Not beaten in this story. He just like, he actually rips the Enterprise in two at one point. It's awesome. Yeah. It's an awesome story. I really need to like write it down because it was like a TikTok thing I did.
Quadrant do you think the Star Wars galaxy's in?
I'm sorry, what?
Which quadrant do you think the Star Wars galaxy is in?
Okay, Jace, for goodness sakes, the quadrant is 1/4 of a galaxy. A galaxy cannot be inside 1/4 of the galaxy. Yeah, okay, what is wrong with you?
Australian education system.
And besides, it has been established that the Star Wars galaxy is far, far away, a long time.
Yes, I do retract.
Right. Oh, that's mathematically proven. Yeah.
I thought I was opening up an interesting book. Instead, I just exposed my stupidity. That's why I came back to the show. That's why I came back.
That's right. That's right. Damon J says, she looks like the actress who played the Q girl brought into the continuum in TNG.
Oh, yeah. Amanda. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's a good point. A little bit. Well,
she does look familiar, the girl from the episode, though. I feel like I've seen her in other things. She's just got that. I don't know if she was an actress that went on to do anything, but I don't know. She just looks familiar. Yeah. Like beyond this series.
Let me find out for us. Let's see here.
Larissa, she's still alive. Larissa. She's 83 years old.
Oh, yeah. No, she was on Days of Our Lives.
There you go.
Passions, All My Children, Sabrina, the Teenage Witch. Oh, she was in
Airplane.
Was she? Oh. Who was she on Airplane?
She was the one
they slapped over and over again?
Yeah, she's the nurse from Airplane 2.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been, and then she did the soap opera things like Santa Barbara, One Life to Live.
Yeah. And she was in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Yeah. In 1998.
Cool.
There you go.
Wow. Proof that we can all access Wikipedia quickly.
Yeah.
I'm on IMDb.
Same.
Really? Wicked.
No, well, I bet Jason has IMDb Pro because he's that fancy.
I do. How else do you really have my own page on there?
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably put his own page up. Yeah.
I do have my own page. I just don't have any credits. Even though I've been in two animated films, I don't have any credits on there. So I need to fix that.
They didn't credit you for those old animated
films? I just need to credit myself. They're busy. I can take care of the stuff myself.
Right. You don't come up, but we'll look it up next time. All right. Well, then, to me, I think Darth Vader would absolutely obliterate Kirk as well. I think the only thing that Kirk's got going for him is the double fist punch. And I also think that Vader would probably just stop him in his tracks. Like, what are you trying to do, dude? The only way that Kirk can win.
Anakin is being completely burnt to a crisp and has faster reflexes than Kirk right now. Kirk's fight moves are in slow-mo, remember? He has to kind of, every time he hits something, he almost has to rev it up a bit. He has to kind of rev it up, and then he does his move.
Yeah.
And Darth Vader could just go flick and pull the toupee off. Flick. You know, girdle comes open. God.
Girdle, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. He's going to, poo, oh, no.
Your girdle is equal.
Your girdle is
Do you ever think Spock sits alone sometimes and goes, it's a joke that really he's captain, because I could beat the living crap out of him anytime I want.
I totally agree with that.
I totally agree. But, you know, Spock needs an idiot in charge so he can have deniability whenever he has
It's all about the Riz. It's all about the Riz.
All about
We're making that word uncool today.
Yeah, that's the plan. All the kids are using words Riz. I'm going to make it old and horrible to say. Oh, I'm torturing my kids at the moment by using it. It's awesome.
What's funny is I heard that word from him at first, and I was like, what's that mean? And he told me it's charisma. Oh, okay. Mm. And then my daughter came and said, you ain't got the Riz. I was like, I got plenty of charisma. She goes,
he knows.
How does the old man know? Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap
the
up.
The old man knows plenty.
And then you dance like a gold mine.
gold.
And that's going to wrap
really?
It up.
Really? Inside the supermarket, Dad?
Absolutely. That's where my biggest audience is.
Oh, my goodness. My biggest audience.
Join us next week for more stupid Star Trek questions.
If you
I just love the fact that my voiceover is being used in that clip and you have a professional voiceover artist here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I was going to say, it has shades of Sean Connery. Like, welcome to stupid Star Trek.
Star Trek questions.
What the bloody hell is
I was trying to do the guy what's his name? Casey Kasem, but an Australian version of something. Anyway.
Okay, cool. But,
you know, Super Friends announcer. I don't know.
Oh.
I'm very limited in my skills.
On the bridge of the Enterprise, Captain Kirk is eyeing Uhura. Uhura, open
and
a
now
channel.
He's eyeing Nurse Chapel.
Meanwhile, Kirk has been on the planet for exactly 3 minutes and has fallen hopelessly in love.
I would love this lady. She loves me too. Guys, if you have a stupid Star Trek question that you are watching this post live, please be sure to comment below your stupid Star Trek question. And like Digital Dave, you will be featured on the show and we will answer your stupid Star Trek question. And now it is time, my friends, to spin the wheel of agony.
I remember once whenever I was filming a James Bond movie, I was tied to a wheel of agony. We called it a wheel of agony because I pulled my groin muscle getting on it.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Kind of like I pulled my groin muscle getting on your mom. All right, Sean Connery, we miss you.
And the character on Celebrity Jeopardy.
What's the deal with such sweet sorrow Discovery being halfway over the wheel?
What is this level of unprofessionalism here?
It's the wheel. No. Nothing to do with me. Hopefully it'll come off.
Don't do it with me, guys. I didn't do this.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's the episode so bad you didn't even get the title of it correct.
No, that's right. Yeah.
The Storyteller.
Yeah. Oh,
interesting.
Well, you should have told me. I would have.
Once upon a time, there was a Balrog. Jesus!
Jesus! The Dharma! Jesus! Yes, we're going to be hanging out with Miles O'Brien as he goes down to the planet Bajor to tell stories, and telepathy happens, right? Right? Telepathy?
Bad episode!
I don't know what it was. I just remember watching it thinking, wow, this spinoff sucks.
Yeah. Well, and
I just, when I remember that episode, I feel like it's just one giant scene of him talking.
Yes.
Like, that's my memory of it. It's just O'Brien crapping on for 45 minutes. So it'll be interesting to
revisit. Does he say Jesus in this episode, or am I just remembering it wrong? Because I could have sworn there was an explosion and he goes, Jesus!
Oh, I hope so.
Because it would make it so much better.
They should have just called it
Jesus.
Jesus! Well, it's time for the aftermath, friends.
Now, why don't you go back to your quarters? I'll be along shortly to say hello.
I'm really thinking about changing my username to Jesus now. Hey?
Jesus.
It's a bit of a bold.
BHS Jesus.
Jesus.
That would be amazing.
You should totally do it.
I'll change mine to Jesus Roy Gaston.
So we've got a couple of things in the comment section. Is this the one where they kept cutting to the agony device in the ceiling, but it really wasn't on the ceiling? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Yeah. You got me, dude. I honestly checked out of this episode about 30 minutes in, and I was just like halfway finished.
pretty boring.
We are now in regression mode. You know, when you go through trauma, you just kind of blank it all out. That's
It's over. I don't have to watch it ever again. What season had the best number of episodes in TAS? Season 1 or season 2? Which one had Space Seed?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question.
It's not season 3, I can tell you that.
No. We have Moo.
But it's a tough call. I feel like season 2, but I'd have to look into that. That's what my gut says.
Okay. Yeah, because I think season 2 had Space Seed and Doomsday Machine.
Yeah.
Season 2 had banger after banger, you know, and then they cut the budget.
For a while there, I felt like early in the season they did. But yeah, that's a great question. Worth researching for sure.
I'm looking at an episode list and... I think I gotta go with season 2.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Yeah,
you got Doomsday Machine, Mirror Mirror, Amok Time.
Yes, Amok Time.
You've got Metamorphosis. You've got
that's season
Session,
2.
The Trouble with Tribbles, A Piece of the Action, the Immunity got Syndrome. It.
That's the one. That's the Rockstar season.
Yeah, barely. I think the first season was really good too, but I think season 2 just barely edges it out.
Mm. Aussie Jace asked where the captain's priorities are. In his pants, obviously.
In his pants.
Yep.
Oh, man.
100%.
Someday maybe good, someday maybe shit. Yes, this was.
That would have been an appropriate bumper for this, except I would have cut out the first half.
Yeah.
And I would just said, some days, shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Ha ha. I like when people write on.
You can also use that for Futurama where they were. Fry is trying to remind Leonard Nimoy what Star Trek is. You know, Star Trek, 79 episodes, maybe 20 good ones.
Wow.
It was great. You know what I found? I was listening, this is kind of off topic, but it does relate to Star Trek, that I was listening to a podcast with Conan O'Brien, and he was talking about writing the famous monorail episode. And originally, you probably know this, Jason, but originally, instead of Leonard Nimoy... They went to George Takei
and
offered him the part. And he said he couldn't do it because apparently he was on the board of the transportation thing over in San Francisco. So he couldn't do it. And then they turned around and he goes, oh, well, I don't know what we're going to do. But then they said, oh, we've asked Leonard Nimoy whether he'd do it. And he said yes straight away. And they said apparently were high-fiving in the writer's room because they got an upgrade when they didn't realize.
That is
one of my favorite episodes just because of how weird they wrote Leonard Nimoy to be and how into it Nimoy was.
Remember, and he goes, well, my job is done.
Goes on. Anyone want to change seats?
I love the end of it. And my job is done here. Goodbye. And I think it's Barney or someone goes, but you didn't do anything. Didn't I?
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
Brilliant.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. Well, that is going to wrap it up for another astounding edition of the Captain's Quadrant. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for downloading. And if you downloaded this podcast, please be sure to give us a rating, 5, if you wouldn't mind. We'd appreciate it so much. Please give us a like. It's free. And if you're watching on YouTube and you're one of the 718 subscribers that joined the crew of the Captain's Quadrant. We thank each and every one of you. Please be sure to share with your friends and ring that bell if you are new and you've never watched this channel before.
And you know, if you're part of this crew, the Captain Joe's not going to go to a planet and then forget about you and try to pick up some chick.
No.
He'll be by your side.
Yeah, I'll be with you because I'm awful at picking up chicks. So that's why I like Star Trek. No.
When there's only one chick on the planet, it's actually pretty easy.
Yeah, not for me. I'll still fuck it up, but I guarantee you that. My promise to you, I'm going to keep it in my pants because nobody wants it. Yeah. Well, my friends, thank you so much for hanging out with us in the Captain's Quadrant. Be sure to come back next week live, 9 o'clock Thursdays. We're going to be talking about movies in 2 weeks. So Jace will be returning again.
I'll be back for that.
Star Trek VI, the best one. So we are looking forward to that. Uh-oh.
Well, I don't know. I go back and forward. I think I need to watch it again. But I do. It's the one I have the most fond memories for.
Yeah, it's such a good one. Such a good one. So again, thank you. And we will see you next week. Oh, actually, no, tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow because I'll be playing Star Trek. Sorry, guys. I'll be playing Star Trek Prodigy. No. I'll be playing Star Trek Prodigy tomorrow at 9 p.m. Right here on the Captain's Quadrant. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get into all the fun things in the video game. All right? Take care. Yep. Don't forget to say hi to my mom. She really appreciates it. All right? Take care.
I almost took my pants off.
Episode was...